Camelot.
Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have 1/3 of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct, I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
The turbo. All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. And if we can manage to get the stream back over there for people, for people.ning.com as well. But either way, if you want to join over there for people in the chat room and Shaziz Radio, superchat.html over there at Shaziz Radio, there, scroll down there. There's a link down there to the at the bottom, right underneath the chat room down there under Awake Radio. There's a People for People radio link. Go over and join those wonderful people as well. So, this is the type of show that I dread the most, because I'm not trying to be divisive or anything like that, but I ask anyone who wants to join the show today to please listen to the first 30 minutes of this show so you can list your thoughts on the matter. And after that, please use a heart to let me know if you want to join in. You know, you may not want to join in. Whatever you hear, it might frustrate you to the extent where you don't want to be part of the show, which is understandable, because we live in a world today that is just off the scale. I mean, it's really hard to try to pick your words or choose your words wisely and you know, respectfully to others and their belief systems and such like that, to you know, keep everyone peaceful, so to speak. But I'm going to play a podcast of a video that's on YouTube. It's 200 Bible prophecies in 30 minutes. And whether you're a believer in the Bible or not, I would ask that you just listen and write down your list of your thoughts on the matter. Because I've been sitting around, I've been trying to contemplate on what we can do as people to try to resolve the issues of all the things that are going on in this world. And the more I look at it, the more I look out into the world and I see things and I'm listening to everyone's point of view. I'm trying to get a grasp on what it is that we need to do as society, we the people, to try to resolve the issues in the world. Now, maybe we can't. Maybe we can't fix all this. I don't know. I honestly, in my heart, I believe that we can fix all this. I believe that we can resolve all this. I believe we've been given the tools and the power to do just that. But unless we're willing to actually listen to one another, you know, then the task becomes impossible. We have to be first willing to listen. And then to be willing to, after that, you know, be willing to sit down peacefully and discuss our differences and our ideas of what we believe is possible, what we can do to resolve all this stuff. There are so many different dividing issues along in this world. There's just so many different lines of division, and unfortunately, you know, the Bible is one of them. You know, I tell everybody I'm a Christian, and I'm not ashamed of that. You know, it's the journey that I've walked in my life. I think that more than likely my view on Christianity is a whole lot different than my supposed fellow Christians. But I kind of take the words that Jesus spoke literally. And so, you know, with that said, you know, there's things in the Christian community that I disagree with. And, you know, hey, I could be just as wrong as the next guy. And I'm not out here to claim to be a prophet. I'm not out here to claim to be a Messiah. I'm just out here trying to do the exact same thing that you're trying to do. So I'm trying to find my way through this world to find the real truth of everything. I could very well be wrong on all my beliefs, all my ideas, everything that I think. You know, this world could be an illusion, and I could just be so wrong. I'm not trying to be, you know, hateful to anybody else's differences in opinions. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anyone out there. But I do want to play this podcast because there's a whole lot of what was said in this podcast that, you know, it's like that what Paul Harvey said back in 1965. He explained our world today as if he had seen it prior. And so I'm asking, you know, explain this. If you can, explain this. Explain all the similarities. Explain all the things, you know, how many is a coincidence, how many is misunderstood or misread I'm sure you get the point by now. So I'm going to start this so that I don't waste up most of the show, but I do want to play this, and please listen closely, and if you do want to join the show, or even if you're just listening in or in the chat room, make you a list. And let's sort through this together, because the world that we live in, it's just amazing. I don't know what to say. It's just it's amazing how many things seem to keep going back to the same or paralleling, or, you know, how many coincidences have to be coincidences or whatever. I'm just trying to sort my way through it. Please bear with me and listen in. And let's come together and let's talk about things in a peaceful manner to see if we can try to get closer to the truth today. Here we go.
Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Right, before we start, I just want to let you know that we could easily spend 1 hour looking at each one of these prophecies in greater detail, but we would be here watching this video all week. Therefore, this will be an introduction, a brief overview, showing prophecies in no particular order. Episode 1 was uploaded last month, which takes a closer look at these two prophecies. Link is in the description. Like, comment, share, and subscribe. Thank you. People will claim to be Jesus. People shall turn away their ears from the truth and prefer made-up stories. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. Deuteronomy 28 accurately mirrors Jewish archaeological history. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar destroys the first Jewish temple, takes the Jews back to Babylon as slaves, where they would remain for the next 70 years as punishment from God. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies. In the last days, there will be counterfeit Christian groups who preach lies and heresies. Giants on the earth before the flood and after. The virgin birth. The people who claim to be Jesus shall have many people following them. Many people shall be deceived. Jesus said a sign of his return in the last days would be earthquakes in various places. In the last days, many shall go to and fro. People will be boasting in the last days. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. After Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and the first Jewish temple, the Jews would suffer 70 years of Babylonian captivity. God said he would raise up a man named Cyrus to free the Jews from Babylonian slavery. The occult and the paranormal. The exact day that Jesus would enter Jerusalem riding a donkey was foretold hundreds of years prior. Jesus said a sign of his return in the last days would be, "You shall hear of war and rumors of war." In the last days, knowledge shall be greatly increased. <coughs> 150 years before King Cyrus the Great of the Persian Kingdom was born, God told us his name and the tasks that God had predetermined for him to accomplish. Daniel accurately gives a detailed description of historical events in breathtaking detail. All of the events later happened in the same order in which they are described. Deep underground military bases. The Messiah would be rejected and killed. In the last days, the earth shall be filled with violence. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom shall rise against kingdom. In the last days, events will be seen around the world simultaneously. In the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The Jews would survive Babylonian captivity and return to Israel. In the last days, people shall be unforgiving. Jesus said that the Jews would be scattered amongst the nations. Biometric currency. Three times Jesus predicts his own death. In the last days, people will be lovers of money. The technology to send one another gifts from different parts of the world in just 3 days. In the last days, people shall be blasphemers. Days after the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, Jesus will be crucified. God said he would remove the Jewish people from their homeland and scatter them all over the world. In the last days, people will be fierce. After Jesus has been killed, the Jewish temple will be destroyed by a prince, Titus. In the last days, people will be proud. The prophet Daniel, during Jewish captivity in Babylon, interpreted a dream that God gave the king Nebuchadnezzar. Astonishingly, the interpretation details the four great ancient kingdoms that ruled the world, their rise and fall. Rulers will plot to put the Messiah to death. Even though the Jews would suffer greatly at the hands of many nations, they will never be completely destroyed. The worldwide flood. In the last days, mankind will be capable of destroying all life on the planet if Jesus does not return at an appointed time. All flesh would be destroyed. In the last days, people will be inventors of evil things. God accurately described the destruction of ancient Tyre. The prophecy contains 7 very specific details. During Jewish exile, many nations shall occupy Jerusalem. Jesus would die for our sins so that all could be accepted into the kingdom of God as though we were sinless, if we accept Jesus as our Savior. Some Christians shall stop following God and be deceived by the teachings of demons. There will be date setters predicting the return of Jesus and the rapture, the event where Jesus removes all those who are saved, triggering the final 7 years known as the tribulation period. In the last days, people will be haters of God. God said he would use many nations to destroy Tyre. Israel would be re-established as a nation. counterfeit Christians using demonic spirits, performing lying signs and wonders, deceiving Christians. Romans will destroy Jerusalem and the Jewish temple, the people of the prince. In the last days, people will be full of murder. The Messiah will be killed before the temple is destroyed. Tyre's stones, timber, and soil would be cast into the sea. Alexander the Great fulfilled this prophecy during his siege. Every building on the Temple Mount will be destroyed. Jesus said, "Everyone shall hate Christians because they're followers of Christ." People will deny creation and believe in evolution. Jesus told us the Jewish temple would be destroyed by the Roman Empire in 70 AD. This event led to the Jewish people being scattered across the world. In the last days, people will be filled with all fornication. In the last days, people will be full of malignity. Jesus predicts that Judas would betray him. During Jewish exile, Israel would be a barren, inhospitable wasteland. Barren. In the last days, people will be full of debate. Jesus predicts that Peter would deny him three times when the cock crows. Tyre would be scraped and made bare like the top of a rock. Alexander the Great did this when creating his causeway to reach the offshore Tyre. Tyre fled there when Babylon invaded and destroyed the mainland. Jesus said a time is coming when people will kill Christians and think that they are offering God a service. The revived state will be named Israel. Jesus predicts he will be in the grave for 3 days. Sudden destruction shall come upon the generation saying peace and security. This exact phrase has been said by a very extensive list of presidents and politicians in our generation. In the last days, people will be disobedient to parents. There will be strong evidence of God's existence, and we shall be without excuse. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, would destroy the mainland of Tyre. In the last days, despite huge amounts of fossil evidence, people will deliberately ignore there was a worldwide flood. The Messiah will hang on a tree. Jesus said in the last days there would be distress of nations. Today, with nuclear proliferation, global terrorism, and grave biological fears, the nations are in a quandary with no apparent way out. God said that all the people that hate him love death. The final generation at the time of the Antichrist will be willing to accepting something in their right hand or forehead, which will enable them to buy and sell. In the last days, people will be effeminate. He would perform miracles, the Messiah. after scattering the Jews across the world, God said he would regather his people and place them back in their homeland, Israel. False prophets dressed up as Christians. These wolves in sheep's clothing will twist scripture and invent clever stories to get people's money. Phoenician Tyre would never be rebuilt. Jesus said a sign of his return in the last days would be famine. The coming use of nuclear weapons and areas of fallout are anticipated. In the last days, people will be heady. This literally means to be high, extremely intoxicated. The Messiah will heal the blind. The Balfour Declaration by the British, anciently known as Tarshish. Scoffers will be ignorant concerning creation, the flood, and the coming judgment, walking after their own lusts. Babylon would be overthrown permanently, never to rule over the nations again. The Messiah will speak in riddles so people won't understand. Jesus said a sign of his second coming would be pestilence. People will worship created things rather than the Creator. Their possessions shall become their idols. In the last days, people will be without understanding. The Messiah will heal the deaf. God said he would use British ships, Tarshish, to bring the first wave of Jewish people home. A one world government. In the last days, many would forsake the Ten Commandments as a moral code. Blaspheming, committing adultery, disobeying parents, stealing, lying, all would become the norm. The Messiah will speak in parables. In the last days, the whole world will be heavily involved in drug use, pharmakeia, and will not repent and turn from drugs, but will continue to use drugs, pharmakeia, possibly addiction. In the last days, people will be despiteful. The Messiah will appear as an ordinary man. The nation of Israel will be born in one day. False prophets will rise up in the church and in the world. They will deny who Jesus is, what he said, and what he did. Babylon would be attacked and overthrown by a coalition of Medes and Persians. The Messiah will be hated without cause. In the last days, sexual immorality would be rampant, the lust of the flesh. The Roman Catholic Inquisition, their slaughter and torture of Bible-believing, reading Christians. In the last days, people will be whisperers. The betrayal of Jesus would be for 30 pieces of silver. 2,000 years on the brink of annihilation, God miraculously establishes his people back in their ancient homeland, Israel. The fallen angels and the Nephilim. In the last days, there will be a movement towards a one-world religion. The ancient city of Jericho would be completely destroyed by the Israelites. Sexually transmitted infections and sexually transmitted diseases. In the last days, animals will be mixed with different animals as in the days of Noah, referencing the Book of Enoch. In the last days, people will be backbiters. The Messiah will be accused by false witnesses. The nation of Israel, which had been divided into two kingdoms since the time of Solomon, Israel in the north, Judah in the south, would be one united nation in the last days under one flag. Those who claim to be Christians won't help the poor. God said he would open Babylon's gates for Cyrus. Despite the Bible's numerous warnings and last days prophecies, many people will be taken off guard when these events culminate. In the last days, people shall be traitors. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, Jesus would remain silent before his accusers. Signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. The siege of Jerusalem by the ancient Assyrians. Jews returned to Israel in the exact order God said they would. The east first, then the west, followed by the north, and finally the south. In the last days, people will be high-minded. Jesus would be spat upon and beaten. Forests will reappear in Israel. Fallen angels shall be interacting with man, creating a hybrid race as they did in the days of Noah. Nephilim that look just like us. In the last days, people will be truce breakers. The hands and feet of Jesus would be pierced for our sins. In the last days, people will worship demons. Ethiopian Jews would return to Israel. Israel, a barren wasteland for thousands of years, becomes fertile again, blossoms like a rose in a desert. King Cyrus of Persia conquers Babylon and frees the Jews, allowing them to return to Israel to rebuild their temple that King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians had destroyed. In the last days, people shall be ungrateful. While Jesus was on the cross, people would surround him and scorn, mock, and despise him. After God gathers the Jews from the four corners of the earth and places them back in their homeland, no nation shall succeed when attempting to remove them. Luciferian, God-hating Antichrist secret societies at the highest levels of monarchy and government. An innocent man, Jesus, would be crucified with criminals. In the last days, the Jews would plant forests of trees. The Bible even specifies the types of trees they would plant: the cedar, acacia, cults and false prophets. In the last days, the love of many shall grow cold, and many shall hate one another. Egypt will never rule over the nations again. They will not be wiped out, but will be amongst the lowest of nations. Israel would be invincible. Since 1948, tiny Israel has been attacked in three major wars and several lesser wars. Yet despite being vastly outnumbered, they have defeated all attacking foes. In the last days, people will be incontinent, without self-control. Veganism and vegetarians. Jesus' words will never be forgotten. The Babylonian Empire shall be conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. The Messiah will fill his bones are out of joint. Jesus predicts Chorazin, Bethesda, and Capernaum will all be destroyed. All Israel's enemies shall be united against them and attempt to destroy the Jews. In the last days, people will be abusive. Jerusalem would be rebuilt on its own ruins. Onlookers would gamble for pieces of Jesus' clothes. Lukewarm Christian hypocrites who give Jesus lip service but deny him with their life. The Word of Faith movement and the prosperity gospel. In the last days, people will be false accusers. The Eastern Gate shall remain closed until Jesus returns. Israel will have a fierce military. Homosexuality shall be prevalent, burning in their lust for one another. The God of this world and the Luciferian devil-worshipping elite. The Christian gospel shall be preached to the four corners of the earth, then Jesus shall return. In the last days, people will be full of envy. Alexander the Great will conquer the known world. While Jesus was on the cross, people would taunt him and specifically say, "He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." When the surrounding nations join forces and attack Israel, God shall defend Israel and fight for them. the birth of the Mormonism cult via a demonic fallen angel of light. In the last days, people will deliberately ignore the fact that God created the world and destroyed it by water, and that there is a future judgment coming. In the last days, people will be despisers of those who are good. Jewish innovations. Nineveh's destruction would be permanent. The birth of the Islamic religion via a demonic fallen angel of light. Jesus would be given vinegar to drink. In the last days, people will be saying, "Where is this Jesus? He ain't coming back. Come on, man, it's been 2,000 years. Where is the promise of his coming?" In the last days, people will have a strong desire for other people's possessions, covetousness. The kingdom of Egypt will fall to the Persians. No bones in Jesus' body would be broken. The Messiah's body will be pierced. In 1948, Israeli forces stunned the world. They crushed the combined forces of Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Iraq. After God brings the Jews back to Israel, Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling to all the surrounding peoples. In the last days, people shall be without natural affection. It means your close family, your close friends. After the Persian Empire had four kings, they will attack Greece. The Medo-Persian Empire shall be conquered by the Greek Empire. Jesus would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Israel would be initially restored without Jerusalem. Five Egyptian cities will be conquered by the Israelis. God confuses our language, scatters people to different parts of the world. In the last days, people will be unholy. Egypt will cease to be a monarchy, and Egypt will no longer have any kings. After 2,000 years, the Jews recaptured Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Muslims will not recognize Israel amongst nations. Death to Israel. In the last days, people will be brutal. Brutal. The Greek Empire shall be conquered by the Roman Empire. Jerusalem would be a burdensome stone to all nations, and all who try to remove her will hurt themselves. Because God is with them. Palestinians, ancient Edom, will claim the Temple Mount in Jerusalem belongs to them, regardless of archaeological evidence to the contrary. The Roman Empire divides into two parts. construction of a shore in ancient Assyria by the Roman Empire. Israel would be partitioned, and other nations will attempt to divide up the land. In the last days, a pure language would be restored, and the Jews shall speak Hebrew again. The rebirth of Israel's ancient currency, the shekel. Russia will rise as a military power and lead an attack on Israel, joining forces with Iran, Turkey, Libya, and Ethiopia. Russia is currently close allies with these nations and has funded their weaponry and even built their nuclear power plants for them. Indeed, the stage is set, and these nations are in bed with one another. People will acknowledge the signs of the weather, but will ignore the signs of the times.
Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth.
So if you've been listening in, you've heard about a half an hour of 200 Bible prophecies in 30 minutes. Now, I'm not saying that's the only ones out there. I'm not saying anything in particular. I'm basically just trying to do as everyone else in this world is trying to do, is trying to sort through reasoning why our world is in such disrepair. I still believe in the dream. I honestly do believe that we have the power and the capabilities to resolve it and to change our destiny. But as the standard is, as you look out there and you see what's going on in this world, and you hear all the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and famine and pestilence, it begs the question, how do you explain this? How do you explain all of these prophecies, and from whatever place they originated from, or, you know, anywhere for that matter? So now's the time. I'm gonna make a call, starting off with Barbara there, and I'm gonna add her to the call and get her thoughts and ideas on the thing. And if any of you else want to join in, and basically, let's sit back and discuss what's going on. You know, I'm just saying, explain this if you can. I mean, I really have no other explanation for all the things that I've heard and seen throughout my entire life. I formulate my opinions, and I got my own spiritual journey that I walk on, and I do call myself a Christian, but for reasons that a lot of Christians don't. You know, there was a man named Jesus that they said was the Son of God, that said a lot of things, did a lot of things. And the words and the man is, whether it all turned out to be a fairy tale, a myth, or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's the words that I'm talking about that resonate. You know, the things like how to treat one another, and so on. You know, myself personally, I do believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but How could I know, honestly? I rest myself on faith. I do believe in a higher power. But as we're standing here together in this world that we live in, and we're seeing all of these things out there, one has to ask, what if this is true? Who back then knew that we today would be living in a world such as what was explained. So I'm gonna go ahead and make this first call here, and then if you want to join in, either throw a heart or a smiley face in the Skype chat there in the Knights of the Round Table, because I really want to hear your side. I really want to hear your thoughts and matter on this thing. I'm no prophet. I'm no messiah. I'm just a man, just like all the other men out there, and just a human being, just like all of you. And I'm just trying to figure things out. I've heard a lot of words in my life. I've heard a lot of things that, to me, at very least, seem to be prophetic. We're living in a world today that we all want peace and love. We all want things to be better for everybody. And how are we ever going to get there if we're not willing to listening to each other's differences? Listening to all the evidence. Putting all the evidence on the table. Everything. Hi, lady.
Hey there.
Got some good sound here today. I can hear you real well.
Oh, good. Very good. Great topic.
Well, so you've been listening in, and you've heard a lot of things said. There's just it's a vast field of subjects from everything that we've talked about on this show for so long.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make this world a better place. We all do. It doesn't matter where our backgrounds came from. One of the things in there was talking about how all the people were scattered and their tongues, their language would be, scattered. And, look at all the languages in this world. It's amazing. I'm not proclaiming anything. I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. I want to do what it is that we do here best and have a good, peaceful discussion and conversation so that we together can work our way closer to the truth. And that's basically what I feel like we've all been seeking. I believe there are solutions available to resolve the problems of this world, but it's going to require something that a lot of folks aren't ready for, I guess. It's just we're going to have to realize that not one of us, or maybe a lot of us, can do by ourselves.
Mm.
You know, we have to figure out how somehow to use that that connection that we all do have, that a lot of us reject, you know, for whatever reason. And putting our differences aside and our egos down and just trying to say, hey, look, these are all the evidences that are presented before the entire world. Everyone can see these evidences. There's website after website, video after video, there's opinion after opinion, all these different everything. This isn't something that's been hidden from us. It's right there on the table. It's like the veil has been lifted, if you're willing to look into seeing and working through it all. So, I'm just trying to do like everybody else, Barbara. I'm just trying to figure my way through this to see where it is that we stand. How do we proceed from here? I love this the people of this world. That's it. That's my heart. I love when I see people prosper and do well and they have all their needs met. Unfortunately, it's not universal across our world right now. No, there's people out there that are going through some terrible things that they shouldn't have to be going through right now. Is this all part of the game or the plan or whatever? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, well, that's what we like to do here, isn't it? On People for People and the round table and your show here. And yeah, I mean, because we certainly want to see things become better for everyone in the world, and I kind of feel that this is a plan. There are cycles, ancient cycles spoken of, and not just the Bible prophecies, but the indigenous people have their prophecies that are similar. I've spoken about in the past the Kali Yuga, which comes out of India, you know, and the ancient people there. And it all speaks to the same thing. So there are many prophecies that are aligned perfectly to what we've just listened to. So I find that fascinating as well. Different parts of the world and different nations have similar, if not identical, prophecies. You know, I wrote my list. I have, you know, a list here. But first I want to talk about the Kali Yuga cycle a bit, because this is very fascinating to me. And just listen to these words. So, you know, the Kali Yuga doctrine tells us that we are now living in the particular, or the Yuga cycle, rather. There are several cycles that humanity goes through. There is the Golden Age, the Dark Age, and various other ages, and it describes timelines. And in that timeline, for instance, the Yuga cycle doctrine, at this time that we are living in the Kali Yuga, is the Age of Darkness, when moral virtue and mental capabilities reach their lowest point in the cycle. And this Kali Yuga is the period when the world's soul is black in hue. Now, I want to keep in mind that term, the world's soul, that's a very significant term. The world's soul. Well, what does that mean, you know? And then we speak of, the Son. You said Jesus was the Son of God. Well, I believe that we are all the sons and daughters of God. That's how I feel. I feel that because it says in the Bible, we are made in the image.
Well, also it said that blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Right, and so we have to keep that in mind. But this world's soul is black in hue, and only one quarter of virtue will remain, which then slowly dwindles to zero at the end of this Kali Yuga. So we are in that fall. You know, man turns to wickedness, disease, lethargy, anger, natural calamities, and anguish and fear of scarcity begin to dominate. Sacrifices and religious observances fall into disuse, and all creatures will degenerate. So the other thing about this is very important, these different yugas. So we have the Krita Yuga. It was so named because there was but one religion. This is the earliest time, and I always have spoken about we were one people. We had one connectedness, one religion, if you want to call it, or I'm going to say it's the original instructions given to all humanity. And men were saintly, therefore they were not required to perform any religious ceremonies. Men neither bought nor sold. There were no poor. There were no rich. There was no need to labor, because all that man required was attained by the power of will. The Krita Yuga was without disease. There was no lessening with the years. There was no hatred or vanity or evil thought whatsoever. No sorrow, no fear. All mankind could attain supreme blessedness. The universal soul was white. The identification of self with the universal soul was the whole religion of the perfect age, or the whole understanding, if you don't want to use the term religion. In the Trita Yuga, sacrifices began, and then the world's soul became red. Virtue lessened a quarter, and mankind sought truth and performed religious ceremonies. They obtained what they desired by giving and by doing, and in the Dwapara Yuga, the aspect of the world's soul became yellow. Religion lessened one half. The Veda was divided into four parts, and although some had knowledge of the four Vedas, others knew but three or of one. Mind lessened, truth declined, and there came desire and diseases and calamities. Because of these, men had to undergo penances. It was a decadent age by reason of the prevalence of sin. So, just to refresh the terms here, there was but one religion, and all men, all humanity, were saintly. I'm going to say that means, in my interpretation, all men, all women, and humanity were saintly, meaning they understood their connectedness, not only to Creator, but they knew they were sacred. And this has been deliberately, and you know, taken from us, indoctrinated into us that we are evil, we are sinners, you know. And so there was no reason to perform religious ceremonies, it says, because you were already in relationship to the Most Divine. You know, there was no poor and no rich. Think of that. The Kriya Yuga was without disease and so on. There was no hatred, no vanity or evil. So these cycles have happened, and we have to look at our participation again. And I have to go to Creator gave us free will, and also Creator set upon us a demon. I'm going to say that because we know that that exists. So we have inventions of evil things in technology. This is happening. We have people listening to the teachings of demons. We have this happening. People are they're blind. People will kill Christians. We see that happening in China and various other places in the Middle East. And it says the Messiah will heal the blind. That, to me, is an awakening. It's not like the people who are blind, actually physically blind, are going to suddenly start to see. It's the heal the blind, to me, means awakening. And this, we are in that time of awakening. And pestilence, so pestilence, well, I don't know if you've looked at the Sudan recently, but there's plagues of grasshoppers. And then you have just recently bat plagues in Australia. How much are those people going to deal with? At first they have fires, then they had floods, now they have bat plagues. They can't even fly planes. So also the Messiah said will heal the deaf. So to me it means our ears will open to hear, as it says in the book. Those who have ears to hear will hear, and those who have eyes to see will see. And so people are awakening. I have to identify that. It's not like everyone's dumbed down, but people are awakening. So there will be one world government, it spoke about in this video, and we know this is trending. We're pending into this one world government. We see the push for that. We see the use of the whole world of pharmaceuticals killing people, the addictive pharmaceuticals. Excuse me. We see the sexual perversions that are rampant today. We see the betrayal will come through greed. The betrayal of what? Well, the words were betrayal will happen. Well, betrayal of what? So my question is, well, a betrayal of Creator, betrayal of this creation. That's what that means to me, through greed. And we cannot forget the Nephilim. Did speak about the Nephilim, which are ET, which are demonic entities. The Nephilim, that's in the Bible, speaks of this. And there will be a rise in sexually transmitted disease. I think that this is happening now. Animals will be mixed through scientific research. That is happening now. There will be signs in the skies, meaning the planetary alignments, okay? The planetary alignments have a lot to do with this cycle. So now you have people worshiping demons. We know that's happening. We have the elite that are devil worshippers and Satan worshippers, and we have them sacrificing innocents. That happened in the early cycles to the Jews were actually sacrificing their children to Baal, that god. That god is an ET. It's a demonic. A lot of these gods are demonic entities. You want to call them their ETs or whatever. So then we have the Ethiopian Jews will return. Well, that has already happened. I sent you a link that the Ethiopian Jews were returned to Israel. That happened, I think, 2 years ago. It's still happening, but something else is happening to those Ethiopian Jews, that the Israeli government just said that they have been, they admitted that they have been sterilizing the women. These are Ethiopian Jews. Their connectedness to Solomon and David, I think, but I may not be right on that. But this is part of that prophecy of the Jews will return, the four corners of the, you know, that they had spread out through the world, and that's happened. So Israel will have a superior military. Well, they do have a superior military and superior technologies. Now, you have the rise of Islamic religions. That's where we are today. And, you know, the Persians will invade, I guess, Israel, but that's Iran. We know that, right? And there, but we have the false Jews today rule Israel. They're not the sons of, they're not the, the original Jews. So they're the ones that are ruling now, and you have the ones in Israel who hold the Torah, who hold the ways of the original Jewish religion. They are present, and they despise what's going on with the government because they're not the Jews. So we have this going on, this battle in on the land, that holy land, and I believe it is holy land because I believe all land has sacred sites and throughout the whole world. And that particular area there, there are many things that have happened there, converging prophecies and so on. And again, just to mention, we all are sons and daughters of God. So that's, you know, that's where I am right now, just to respond to, you know, this pod, this video that you were talking to, this pod that we were listening to.
Well, you did a really good job of lining it all out. This is what it's all about. We were trying to, you know, when you talk about all the different prophecies from all the different nations, the parallels between, you know, all of them are really seriously ironic. I think they're beyond coincidence. You know, there's so many of them that talk about a great flood in history. So, you know, what was going on?
Many talk about the great floods. And in Egypt, you can do research and find out that in different places, as I spoke about the appearance of the peacekeeper here on Turtle Island, is described by the Indian people as identical to the way Jesus was described. But the peacemaker came here earlier than 2,000 years ago. And then you have Viracocha, the Holy One who came, the great creator came, and appeared in Peru over Lake Titicaca in a sphere of light. And that was also described by the people in ancient times appearing just as in the form like Jesus appeared. Same thing. So over throughout time, I feel that these beings, I'm going to call them beings of light or holy beings. Nobody owns them. The Bible, the church, the Christians do not own Jesus. Nobody owns Jesus. That being, okay, that being is a holy being, a sphere, a frequency of light who brings teachings. And the Kali Yuga speaks of the dark time when all virtue disappears from the world, and that we go into a dark age. All is forgotten. Everything is forgotten. But lo and behold, every time this cycle goes around, the dark age, everybody drops into what is called a dark age, and they forget the wisdoms, they forget the teachings. But inevitably, a prophet appears to bring back the teachings, which were, like I'm saying here in the original, there was no religions. There was no, everyone spoke the same language. Yeah. All men were saintly, meaning that we were connected to Source, Creator, knowing ourselves as sacred. And it's still there. This is still present, but we've been so far removed from knowing ourselves as sacred. If you were made in the eyes of God, okay, that means how do you live your life knowing that you are that? You are saintly, yeah. Sacred, godly, if you want to say it.
It makes sense.
You know, so how do we live our lives? Well, we're far removed from that. And I think I'm going to say this is a deliberate, because we have these intrusive Nephilim and the other entities that have come in, or the demon that God put down upon the earth. Creator put down upon the earth and had a reign of I don't know how many thousands of years or whatever. I think that time is coming to an end. To me, it's a big test. It's like a big school. And it said in the Bible that God divided the people so that they couldn't communicate and they had different languages. That's part of the separation of ourself from Source. And yeah. Now you go on your journey to learn to regroup and come back into this divine frequency of one and unity with each other, not separate, that we are not really separate. We are all people, all sacred children of just many colors, of course, the rainbow warriors now that are rising and awakening, and those that have been blind are awakening now and seeing through these illusions. You know, the same thing with those that are deaf are now hearing the truth of things. So yeah. I feel this is where we are today. I think the most, I guess I'd say the most significant piece for me is the realization and understanding that, there are negative demonic entities, if you want to go there. But that's from the beginning of time. You have the ancient cultures, the ancient people talking about the demonic entities and the battle of the dark and the light. And this is where we are today. We are in a battle of the dark and the light, a spiritual battle, we call it, because it's a battle for our own soul.
I believe that
this
as well.
This is what I... This is... Huh?
I said I believe that as well. Two Dog wants to join in. Go ahead and add him to the call, if you don't mind.
No. Great.
All right. Here we go. Anyway, go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Well, I'm just thinking that the salute... is our understanding and awakening to the fact of what we are really battling against. We are battling against something or entity or something that eats the frequency of a divine soul. It eats the soul. It eats the energy of hate. It eats the energy of fear. It needs this as a food. And we are basically the buffet, you know, for these entities. This is how they survive on that energy. We talk about frequency and energy. You know, what is it to be divine? What is it to be sacred? What energy is that? You know, you have this, we have to understand ourselves as beings of energies and frequencies. This is where we are today. So, and yet, men will turn to wickedness and diseases, and we see this norovirus sweeping throughout the country. And there's no vaccine, there's no cure, but these were spoken about, you know?
Years ago we had
the Ebola fear. I don't know if you remember that. Everybody was freaking out. This guy came to the U.S. He was possibly infected. They had him in a hazmat suit. They put him in a hazmat tent. And then all this fear and all this fear-mongering and all this insanity, and then boom, where'd it go? It's gone. Quiet. Nothing, no more. Now something else comes along. Oh, it appeared out of the blue, this, you know, virus, this Zika, this Ebola, this, all these things. Is it humanity, scientists, who, by the way, have a patent on this norovirus? They have a patent on all these viruses. Well, what the heck? Is it men in their foolishness, basically using the technologies for darkness, for evil? You know, I think so, because they're arrogant, because they stepped out of the understanding and knowing that you don't mess with Creator, you don't mess with creation, but they have become gods themselves. They speak of themselves as gods, but they're not gods.
Yeah.
They're being manipulated by something very dark and very evil, and this is where we are today.
China has a coronavirus that's spreading right now.
That's what I'm talking about, the coronavirus. They have a patent out of Georgia, labs in Georgia. There are several patents on this coronavirus, and the Chinese were warned, I think, I can't remember the date, a year or so ago, that this was going to come out. And now there's this movie that was out called Contagion. I didn't watch it, but people are talking about this movie Contagion that is very much like what's happening coming out of China. We talk about the hidden hand, or what is it that the elite have to do? They have to tell us what they're about, right? Their code.
Yeah, they're about to tell you what they're about to do to you and that kind of deal. And it's really ironic that if you go back and you look at movies, even the video series Jericho, but, you know, what they showed, and then when you listen later on down the line, you start hearing parallels in the news about things like they were constantly talking about North Korea, you know, and nukes, and in that deal was saying that North Korea was the one that nuked the city, but it turned out to be, well, all the cities that got nuked, but it turned out to be an inside deal that, you know, was done.
Well, within our government, it turned out to be the deep state elite that set this up so that there could be a war. They want war. Why do they want war? War is devastation upon the land, devastation upon the people. It's trauma. It's horror. It's devastation. What are those things? Those things are frequencies. They need that. They need that frequency, that energy, basically. That's what they eat from. So they need a constant war. They need a constant sacrifice. I call the wars blood sacrifices. That's my perception, because it just makes perfect sense to me, because you have the ancient people sacrificing to false gods, and the sacrifice of blood sacrifices. So this to me is brought about by these demonic entities who need this sacrifice of humans.
Yeah, it seems like that's the case, because they seem to want us all to be afraid of not just the world in general, but each other, and they don't want us talking to each other. Every plague is a tragedy, and you've got to be worried about everything under the sun, so it constantly keeps us in a negative place. And so whatever energy that we're putting out there, you know, whether it be, you know, talking about it in a fearful manner to the world, you make the rest of the world fearful. Everybody's afraid.
Well, think about the energy. What is the frequency of fear? frequency of fear is low. It's low on the totem pole of frequency. So it's a negative, right?
Yeah.
So it's the negative that these negative entities need to feed off of. It's an energy. This is what's going on. So they need us in fear. They need us to be judgmental. They need greed. They need all these things, as the sorcerers had told me when I was taken in the dream time to this realm where I spoke to the sorcerers, and they said, we need these things in order to manipulate. It's like they looks for a window of opportunity in your auric field. The auric field means that we have a surrounding luminosity. We are created that way in our aura. You know, can be infected or affected by ill health or emotions or various other things. And that leaves a window of opportunity, basically, for these entities to enter into and to control your mind. Not only your mind, but basically your physical self can make you ill and control your mind. You know, and it disconnects you from your spirit, from the soul, the truth, and your divine self, your sacred self. This is, to me, I don't know, I can't make it any more obvious or clear. We have to remember to keep thinking that there are solutions, but they don't want to give us the solutions. Like they're talking about the global warming, which is a lie, but they're talking about the resources that we need in order to make things better. But, and I'm shouting, well, there's free energy, but nobody's talking about it, right?
Yep.
Nobody's talking about this free energy available, but they don't want free energy. They want to destroy the resources from the earth.
Yep. Well, it's all amazing. There's so much to talk about. I mean, it was here recently that Gary asked me about, because I had mentioned possibly trying to start doing shows 7 days a week, and I told him, I said, I ain't gonna ever run out of content. We haven't even scratched the surface of all the things that need to be discussed and you know, sorted through, so we can find solutions for everything. So I ain't making any kind of promises just yet, but I think that this is such an important deal that I may very well start doing 7-day broadcasts talking about all kinds of things that need to be fixed. This is just, if you're just listening in, it's overwhelming. And you look out there in this world and you see all the negative stuff that is bombarding you every single day, you said, Barbara, about that light and that aura that's around you, that how it can be affected. And I was sitting there just, it was probably about 3:30 in the morning again. And I was thinking about, you know, am I myself being manipulated and lied to? Am I being used like a puppet or whatever, you know? And I couldn't even honestly answer that to myself because, you know, I know my heart. There's nobody can tell me any different than what I know my heart to be. My heart is true. I have true love in my heart for all my brothers and sisters around the world. But sometimes I don't feel like my actions always, you know, match what they should be with that type of love in my heart. I feel like there's things, you know, whether it be a demon chasing me around or whatever. You know, some people that might sound crazy, but you know, it seems like the harder you work to be good, or you know, as my faith, we're supposed to try to walk as closely as we can to the teachings of Christ. I don't feel like I always do that, so it's like I'm constantly under attack. But I feel sick. I actually feel. Every time I'm hearing all these things going around in the world, I feel so much. I feel the pain of others. I just can't explain it outside of whether it be, you know, like when a lady is, my wife, when she was pregnant, I was having morning sickness. Sympathetic pains and sicknesses because, you know, I loved her so much. And I feel that same thing, and I guess that's why I'm so passionate about the Knights of the Round Table and what we do here, even in the mad science with the free energy thing, because I know and I can feel what's going on in this world as if everyone out there was connected to me somehow, and I'm connected to them, you know, with this energy that we talk about all the time. You know, and
well, it is the demons are very active because they need their food, and the people are you know, basically falling right into line. They're angry, they're you know, you have wickedness, you have anger, you have the various other things, the fears going on, and these are the things they need. So the demonic entities also see the, like, the awakening, the people awakening, and kindness and goodness happening, people reaching out, people are, their ears are opening so that they can hear, and their eyes are opening so they are awakened, and they're no longer blind to the illusions and to the controlling factor that we have been under, which is a system that deliberately was put into place to basically destroy what is sacred.
Well,
there's
something else to that as well, and I've witnessed this firsthand. I've seen, you know, things that my grandchildren, you know, are watching nowadays, you know, and I sit down and I...
It's all the indoctrination. It's like the indoctrination.
It's like they're under attack. It's like they are
under attack. This is the whole point I'm trying to make. We are under attack. But there is a solution. So you have to say, why are we under attack? Why is this chaos and insanity and horrible things rising up? Why is the pedophilia, you know, happening all over the world? It's now so prevalent. Why is this evil stuff going on? Because people on the other side, the light is beginning to shine and people are starting to wake up. People are starting to stop these old patterns and awakening to the indoctrination that have been going on for generations. So when you have something, when you own something, when you are in control of it and it feeds you, and you start to see, well, there's a little movement over here that's actually going to shift this food, going to take this food from me. Well, I better get busy. I'm going to ramp up now because I need more of this food. I can't let my food disappear. This is like the predator mind that we were talking about, Patty and I, in the show. We're going to continue with that, Don Juan talking about Carlos Castaneda's, talking about the predator mind. The predator mind is an entity, it's an intelligence for ET, demonic, that basically infiltrates into our life through our mind, monkey mind, and through the energies and frequencies of what we're watching on TV, what we believe in, other person's negativity, how that gloms onto us and we follow like a bunch of sheep. So all these things, you see, it is all in our hands. We are not powerless. This is the whole point. It's awesome where we are today. I feel it's awesome when you start to wake up and see, you know, well, what are we really up against? You know, I spoke about this many years ago. I said, if you think this is rough, wait, because this is just a test to prepare us for what is really coming. And this is where we are today. It is in our hands to stop judging others. It is in our hands to be loving and compassionate. It is in our hands to begin to understand the power we have and the frequency that just our words, either positive or negative, will have on upon the whole of the sacred web.
I believe that.
So, to me, it's an awesome, awesome time that we are living in, you know, and we have to know the lies that we have believed in. We have to know and understand that the power that we do have, and that we are made in the image of our Creator, that we are sacred, that we are sacred, and we have a power through that sacredness, through that frequency of our relationship to Creator.
I believe that. So we've been joined by Two Dog as well. Hey, you've been listening in, brother. You got any thing you want to throw in there?
Well, you know, to think about Jesus Christ saying that he is the Son of God, we all are the children of the Creator. I agree with Grandmother here. Okay? The fact of the matter is, if you look at the Holy Spirit in itself, okay, and we are made in his image, are we not?
Yeah.
So if that is true, you and I also are Holy Spirits within this three-dimensional shell we live in.
Well, the book did say that blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Now, my people of the Mohawk people and the Iroquois Confederacy as well spoke of the peacemaker who walked upon Turtle Island before Jesus Christ. Okay? So these things, these messengers come. They're here now. You know, just look and listen to them. We don't know them yet. But see, what I've come to find out in my journey on this earth, Mother, is that I'm here for a short time. And for this short time, whether you're black, white, yellow, red, it don't matter to me. I don't care where you come from. We're all still the human being. Now, as far as good and bad, mean and evil, or whatever, there's good and bad in all of us.
Well, I believe that as well. I believe
it's,
that we have...
It's always been that way.
I believe
now,
that
here's
we have
thing.
The potential to go either
we
way.
We have man's... We... True. We have the potential to do anything, good or bad, okay? We have that potential. We have that good and bad in us. The situation is the spiritual connection to who and what we are have been lost in many ways. Sometimes I've seen the reality that I have two realities that I live in. One is the religious reality, and the other one is a spiritual reality.
Well,
that's two realities that I live in.
I got a call
but
from
here's
somebody.
The point.
Well, go ahead and make your point.
Go ahead.
I got a call from
the
somebody.
The point is.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
My point is, way myself feel. My heart, my sacred will, my walk upon this earth, Mother. If I go away from what I believe in myself, then I walk away from myself, my own connection to this. And that is, it doesn't matter who you are, we're the human being. And all things on this earth has being. We just happen to be the human being here. Okay? So, there's a connection to that. If you're down, whether you're black, white, yellow, red, or brown, it doesn't matter to me. If I can't reach my hand down and pick you up, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, I agree. I received a call just yesterday, and I was on Skype with somebody that I really really care a lot about Michael Stevens. He's over in Spain right now. And I hadn't heard from him for years, and we started talking about some things that we talked about in the past. And I know that a lot of you have heard me say this a lot of times, that I have seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. And it's true. Some of the things that I have seen, I don't even like to even talk about, because I don't want to give them a reality to live in, if that makes any sense to you. But I've seen really terrible things. I've seen some things that are so beyond evil that it just terrifies my soul. At one point in my research, I started testing in on some things, and I started looking into the future, so to speak. And I saw a path that this world was on. And the things that I saw were beyond words. Beyond words. And in that time where I could literally feel everything that was going on at that time, and I could see and I could smell and I could taste the air around me, it was as if I was literally there. But the difference was that there were two different things, almost like two different realities happening simultaneously, and everyone who was around me was just so overwhelmed and terrified that they just couldn't understand what was occurring at that time. And the things that were going on, they were things that I wouldn't wish upon even the worst person that you could possibly imagine, the worst enemy that you could possibly imagine. I would not wish that on anyone. And so it was almost as if I, as I'm seeing this, it was a warning. It was to say that, you know, we've got to change our path. We've got to be in control of our destiny. We cannot allow humans, our humanity, our family that is us, all of us, it don't matter from where you are on this world that we live in, to ever go down this path. And one of the reasons why I played that podcast there was because everything that you've seen in there, in that podcast, everything that you heard in there, not only has it been spoken of in the past, but it's also literally unfolding in the future. And it's not that far ahead in our future that this whole entire thing is playing out, according to what I witnessed with myself, my mind, however I got there. I'm just saying. But I lived this reality. I saw it. I saw it firsthand. I was there. I was in the most terrible place that you could possibly imagine, seeing the most horrible things that I don't even want to give words to, because I don't want to make it a reality, if that makes any sense to you. I'm fighting real desperately here with words because of what I've seen. And it made my resolve for what I do, as far as trying to use the words that I put out there to everyone out there, to try to bring people together so that we can figure out what is the real truth. What is the real truth? And I'm not trying to convert anyone to any religion. I'm not trying to convert anyone to any way of life or anything. All I'm trying to do is trying to sit here and say, if we stop, we step back, we all together look at this big picture that we call the world that we live in here today. Is this the world? Is this the world that we want to leave for our children, our grandchildren? Do we want our grandchildren to see a day that these things actually come to pass? I can tell you stories, Two Dog. I can tell you stories, Barbara, things that you know you do not want to hear. things in my mind that I see that rip my heart to shreds. This is why
Brother,
I believe that what we do is so important.
Here's what I can give you to hopefully help your spirit, okay? And Grandmother, it's good to talk with you again also. But one thing I want to do for you, my brother, real quickly. My way, the way I look at things, I'm trying to be the peaceful person that I know I am inside. I truly am. Okay? I truly am. I talk to people all over the world right now. And it doesn't matter who you are. In other words, if you're from Iran, I don't hate you because you're from Iran. You're a human being. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now, let me just say this and see if you can connect with this. Alright? When I was in the second grade, and we were out on recess. I can remember this, and I'm going to say this. All of a sudden, I seen this 11-year-old boy. This 11-year-old boy was in the first grade. I kind of couldn't figure that out because he was 11. You know what I'm saying? And I heard the most terrible word I've ever heard in my life. And the boy said, "You N-word," and he threw a rock. And when he threw that rock, he hit me in the head with it. I still have a dent in my head from 60 years later. Everything I tried to do, whether there's violence toward me or not, I've always tried to hold my hand out to him. Because that's not the way my Creator would want me to be. A lot of people say if you get slapped in the cheek, turn the other cheek, right? But a lot of times how my family was, if you slap me in the cheek, I'd break your jaw.
Yeah, I understand that.
But here's the point. A lot of times if your family have been that way, sometimes there's a young one that may come in your family that will break that chain, if you see what I'm saying.
Yep. There's a...
So, racism is taught by generations. So if you break that chain within your family, what good, that's for the good, isn't it?
Well, I think that's what, you know, in my family, my children and all the friends and people that I hang around, I think that I'm the one that broke the chain in that portion of the family because I do come from a family that is quite diverse, and there are those in the family that, you know, they subscribe to, you know, those nasty comments and stuff like that, which I don't. I won't be a part of. I won't tolerate, and I don't hesitate to speak out whenever it goes that route. And so I know my heart, just like you, brother.
Well, see, here's the thing. Our hearts are here. I may not, you know, sometimes it's best to agree to disagree and leave it at that.
Yep.
Okay. Now, like I said, you're a Christian. You believe this. You believe in God, Jesus Christ. You believe in Christianity. I know you don't push, but here's what I'm saying. If this is what you believe in, then that's good. That's your connection to the Great Spirit. What I believe in is get you money too. But it's the same part, it's the same spirit, just different word.
Well, okay. I think it's the same example of what they said about how all the people's languages were scattered and we were scattered all the way around the world. I believe it's the same thing. I believe that everything that we all, you know, we're not far apart on the stories. We're not far apart on the biblical flood. We're not far apart on You know, everything that is good, even the Ten Commandments, you know, there might be, you know, a different version with, but the, you know, maybe different words, but the same concept, do no harm, you know, all these things. I honestly see your point. So, you know, somebody said one day where they thought that was cool how I could be so tolerant of other people's beliefs, and if I'm not tolerant of everyone else's beliefs, how can I expect them to be tolerant of mine? We've got to figure out the truth, and we've got to work together. Otherwise, we'll have to see this destiny unfold. I think we're really seriously in charge of our own destiny. I honestly believe that we've been given the gifts and the resources and each other for a purpose. If we could figure out how to put our differences aside, put our egos down and our selfishness away, we could literally change this destiny, and it doesn't have to come to pass. I don't believe it's all written in stone. Otherwise, some of the words that I heard from Jesus wouldn't have been spoken. You know, whether he was just a messenger or what, it's neither here nor there. You talk about a man. Why would anyone hate a man who would sacrifice his self to save others? Why would a man who said the things that he did about being kind to each other and about doing good things? What was it that he deserved to be hated for so much? You see what I'm saying? And you see that there are people in this world who are hated because of their skin color. There are people who's hated because of their belief system. There are people who's hated because they don't look like somebody believes that they should look like. You know it's wrong in your heart. I know it's wrong in my heart. Barbara knows it's wrong in her heart. And everyone in earshot of what we're speaking about right now knows that's wrong in their heart. None of us are that. We all have goodness in our hearts. And we all, if we could just realize our true potential, our true strengths, our true powers, it all stems from this one little word that we talk about, love, all the time. Love. Love is not something you can just sling around haphazardly. You know, it really has, that word has meaning. It has power. I believe that with everything I am.
You talked earlier about the feelings that you get, you know, the sense of the connectedness to people. It's empathy. It's like feeling others' pain. And, you know, this is actually original relationship that we had with each other. And this is, I think, deliberately a disconnect of our empathies and connectedness to our fellow brothers and sisters. This, to me, I have to keep saying, it's all this plan to separate us from what is sacred, which is number one ourselves, and the sacred creation, okay, which involves others. All others are sacred creation. this, to me, you can't deny that there was an intelligence to creation. Even scientists are now saying that. They had to finally come to that terms with that. They didn't say a God, which is okay with me, because I don't use that term God. I use it Wakantanka Tukashula, or Great Spirit, Creator. But to me, it's like, okay, so finally the scientists have reconciled the fact that this creation, there was an intelligence involved in this creation. And it is like a miracle. All of this creation is an awesome miracle. And the sacred geometries, the golden rules of all creation, are linked mathematically, which are frequencies, which are energies, you see. this is what we have to realize again, what this is all about, what life and creation is all about. and how we are all in relationship here upon this sacred web of life. Whether you're aware of it or not, you are still in connectedness to the whole, the great sacred whole of the web of life. So whether you're aware of it or not, so you affect or are being affected by the varying degrees of people's frequencies and energies. So we have waves of different types of frequencies fluctuating continually. We have those that are awakening, those that are seeing the light and hearing the truth and reaching out to others. We have those who are still lost and maybe in the dark. You know, so these are different frequencies that are moving rapidly forward, you know, engaging us and moving us toward the final solution, which is, what is the final solution? Well, it is in our hands. I do believe that. I believe that we are co-creators. You know, Creator gave us free will. Well, why? If you choose something, then that's creating your reality. If you choose something good to do, that's creating a repercussive, like the pebble in the pond. It goes on into infinity, touching all in that positivity. Same thing with the negative. So this, we are co-creators. Creator gave us free will to choose, either the dark or the light, either to mess things up or to follow in alignment with the divine sacred. You know, the joy and gratitude of life and the beauty of life and the connectedness and caring that we feel naturally for others. So there's two things going on here. I look at it as the two prophecies. But we are participating here. We're not outside of this. And it's not like their fault, somebody else's fault. We are all participants here. So we have to stop judging and blaming others for the mess that we are in and participate on a higher frequency level to create and manifest something different. This is how I see this. So it's not hopeless and we're not helpless, you know, but when you have love in your heart and empathy, you feel that emotion, you feel that sorrow, that's not a bad thing. You know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It tells me that you're a beautiful person and that you have a kindness in your heart. And this is a plus. It's not a negative.
I did a video series quite some time back, the 13-18 video series, and it's because I got a injury to my skull that I received back in 1984. I took a steel pipe to the back of the head from a supposed superior officer. And I won't go into the whole entire story, but I carry a little piece of metal around in my head ever since then. And so, you know, it changed my life back then. It changed my life so profoundly. It's even hard to explain how I actually see the world and what time itself even means to me, because I have no concept of time. If I don't have a clock available, I can't know how long I've had a conversation with you. It's really, you know, hard for me to explain to people how I see things through my eyes and how fast everything is actually moving, you know, throughout my life. But in every single household, every single school, every single government building, there's a clock on the wall. And every time I look at that clock, I see something that is just so mind-blowing. It's so incredible that on that clock, you can calculate. That clock is the by far the best calculator ever designed in the history of time. And it doesn't just tell the time of the day or the hour or the minute. It has if you go into looking into Jewish and Christian numerology, astrology, everything, sacred geometry, if you go into looking at it, if you can see that clock the way that I see that clock, it is off the scale. There is a mathematical code to every single thing in existence, and everything, every event that's ever played out that you can check out in history can be calculated from that device. Do you realize there are people who today, children coming out of school, who cannot even read an analog clock? That's a scary thought. It's a simple device, right? This analog clock, it's a simple device. But when I look at this clock, and the reason I made that 1318 series was to open somebody's mind to see if anyone else out there besides me could see what it is that I see when I'm looking at that clock. You can count from, you know, zero all the way both forward and backward to infinity with that clock. And there are codes within that thing that if you sit there and you do the calculations from 10 to 2 to 12 to 6, you come up with the number that, according to Christian numerology, equates to Jesus. You can find the Star of David on this thing. You can find every single geometrical shape known to man on this thing. Everything can be mathematically calculated in a 360 degree circle that can be rotated in any direction in another full 360 degree angle all the way around this thing, and you can put a perfect four-dimensional shape within that. Every single object in the existence of the time that we live in right now can be calculated with the numbers to the exact letter. Biblical verses, even numbers and dates and times and places in every single book that has ever been written, every single word that has been spoken, every single language. There are so many numbers, so many letters in every single language out there. All of it can be calculated from one little device that we call a clock that's sitting on the wall. Now, I couldn't have done it, and I don't know anybody else out there who is mathematically that perfect that could have done it. So, to me, it is more than proof of some sort of divine creation, something that it doesn't matter. You go look into all of these sacred geometry. Everything that you see in there can be calculated on the face of that clock. And I can see it with my eyes. Every time I look at it, I can see it with my eyes. I understand it. I can see the gears of every single thing that is in existence while it's turning. I can tell you, this gear is going that way, which is turning that gear that way, and that's turning that gear that way. I can't tell you how I do it. I just tell you that I see this thing. And so I made this little video series just to see if anyone else out there in this entire world can see what I'm seeing when I'm seeing this thing. What's it all about? All these prophecies that we heard about in this podcast right here, all these prophecies that we've heard from all these different nations, are all of these things that have to come to pass, or do we actually have a choice in the matter? And I honestly believe, from everything that I've observed, that we not only have the power to change our destiny, but we have the tools to do it as well. It said in there that the last days, that the knowledge would be incredible, that the knowledge would be vast. What are we seeing right now? We're sitting here talking on amazing technology beyond our understanding. I couldn't sit here and build a computer. I couldn't do that. I don't have everything it takes to sit there and code in every single thing that is going on. But the vast array of all the people who are ever involved in putting this computer together can't even scratch the surface of a fraction of whoever made that mathematical code that's on that clock. So what's your all's thought on the matter?
Well, I want to first say, to respond to you too, Doug, it's really good to be here with you, and it's been a while, so it's nice to hear you.
Well,
nice to be on the, yeah, Pilamaya for that. Yeah, well, I think we have all the answers, and I think we can see the, the opposing factors are, like I say, ramping up big time, because they don't want to lose their position. It's simple fact of the law of nature. You have something dominant, okay, something domineering and in position and control, never wants to give up its position or control or domination, its ability. So this is what we're dealing with on a grander scale. And we are all part of this. We're subjected to this controlling factor that has a plan, a mind of its own to hold position. And it's up to us. We have, it's free will to choose to not allow that to happen anymore. Okay, so when you have a sense of joy and happiness for something, or even sadness that something's going on, it's always, to me, it's the frequency and the energy that we are learning to discern. You know, it's like I say, I know you say this, but I say, whatever Creator is offering us is available. It's ever present, and it is in a high frequency. If you hear something in your mind or you feel something that is a negative or a lower frequency, that's not Creator. That's not Great Spirit. That is something else. And the only way you can discern that is to be consciously aware of the frequencies and energies that you're being inundated with. You know, the frequencies and energy of the thoughts in your mind, for instance, or the feelings in your physical self, even the words that come out of your mouth. So, because we are powerful as co-creators with our thoughts and our emotions and everything that we do, it's pretty awesome if you really think about it. So, but people are in fear and they're being told there's nothing you can do. The plague is coming, you know, there's nothing you can do. Be in fear and start trampling people for the food in the grocery stores. You know, this is then added to the negative, that energy that wants the fear, that wants people trampling each other, pushing each other for food out of fear. You know, it's fear of losing its position. It wants people to be intensely angry, intensely negative and hurtful and divisive and so on. This is keeps those entities in the position of power and control over the greater body of humanity. That's why they kill the messenger, okay? They always kill the messenger. They always doubt or kill the messenger first. You will see that over time, over history, throughout history. Those that come are sent here by Great Spirit Creator to be the messenger. You know, like the white buffalo calf woman was a messenger from Great Spirit to bring the truth of the ceremonies and the ways to the people when things were out of balance during that time, thousands of years ago. You know, now what happened? Well, things started to get shifted in that culture too, where people started to basically neglect or negate or disrespect the sacred ways. The sacred ways meaning the children, meaning the woman, meaning the mother, meaning our brothers, the men. Everything is bent on destroying the Creator's sacred creation. That's you. That's me. That's all of us, every one of us. That's a key piece, is to really understand, to come to terms with the fact that you are a sacred, essential being, that you were created out of unconditional love and awe and joy. That's my perspective, because you can't help but when you look at nature or even a little baby, and a freshly born little one, the miracle that that is, the miracle of birth, the miracle of creation, the fact that we can change the molecular structure of the water back to its original harmony and balance, you know, its supreme essence, just by saying, I love you, thank you so much. Those words are powerful. Think of that. Now, this is scientifically proven. It's not just me talking about this, but our people have had ceremonies for millennia from the beginning on how to do this, on how to bring things back into harmony and balance through ceremony. These abilities are given to all of us. It's not just for us. It's for everyone. Everyone has the ability, you know, to change the negative back to the positive. It's very, very important to know this. Why is it so far removed from people to get it, to own, to say, to identify oneself as sacred? What is the intrusive energy that prevents people from saying, I am a sacred child? I am a Creator's child. I was created from love and unconditional love and joy and awesomeness. What is it that negates those words from people being able to come to terms with this creation of who they really are? that's my question. I mean, I know the answer, but I'm throwing it out there to you guys for your input, or what your thoughts are.
Right now, my thoughts is like everywhere, everywhere at one time. It's amazing. I'm just blown away by all of it, Barbara. It's just, I'm having a real trouble, a real hard time trying to get words together to try to say what it is that I feel like I came here to say with this whole deal. We got a lot of questions that need to be answered. That's what I asked in the beginning of this show. I said, explain this if you can, because all these different prophecies, whether it be what Paul Harvey said back in 1965 to what was Ben said, and all the messages, the kind of warning signs of everything about where we're going, where we've been, and you know what's next. How many have to happen before it's no longer a coincidence? You see what I'm saying?
It's become not just a spiritual ordeal here. It's becoming physical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now understand where I'm going. All right. The sacredness within yourself is to have that one-on-one relationship with whatever you call the Creator, whether it's God, get your mind to walk on, knock it, whatever. Okay. So every step I take on this Earth Mother is a constant talk, a constant prayer with that one-on-one relationship. See? Now, let me say it like this. I have been put down for what I am. Simply. Okay? It don't matter to me. That really don't matter to me. Now, you have, in religion, you have, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. Okay?
Yeah.
But you got to understand where I came from. I came from eating and sleeping out of dumpsters, living in the street, everything of that matter. Now, what they used to say on the street was, do unto others before they do it to you, because they fixing to.
Yeah, I heard that too.
You see what I'm saying? So you have to spiritually reconnect yourself to where that doesn't happen to you.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, the key word you said is spiritually connect. And this is the what we're talking about is the deliberate disconnect from the spiritual knowledge, the spiritual wisdom, the spiritual power, what activates harmony and balance is that relationship.
You're right. You're exactly right.
I mean, you remember
exactly.
you remember, you'll know what I'm talking about when I say that when the Europeans when the Europeans came here to Turtle Island, there was a clan mother system functioning very well.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know that when the Europeans came here, that it was a patriarchy. It was basically a religious cult that they came walking with the Bible due to the Pope's manifest destiny and the Church's plan. You know,
right.
Basically to take out any others who were not Christian, then they must be demons. And so you know also that the clan mother system was a balance between the male and the female and for the good of the whole. And
right.
The clan mother system, basically, when the Europeans came here, that the white women were basically slaves. They didn't have a freedom to vote, right?
No.
They didn't have a freedom to own property, right?
They had the freedom to cook for their husbands and whatever else.
And have babies. I mean, you know, have children, to procreate, to have children. And also, they could not get an education. All these things were kept from them. So basically, there were white women who came here from Europe, and they were slaves in pretty dresses, if you want to say that. That on that level.
Right.
Well, when they saw this system here on Turtle Island, of the balance and harmony in the position of the women, the grandmothers, for instance, they had to do away with that fast. They didn't want their women getting any ideas of, you know, of that position of the native women. You know, the native women were revered as sacred because they were givers of life. And but I'm saying that there was this respect between the men and the women. It was a unanimity of reciprocity. This is what this was based on. Now, this also existed in Europe and across the world before technology, before the Industrial Revolution, before the organizers of religion stepped in to separate everybody and tell them that they were sinners and this is how you have to live your life, according to a man in a dress. And I have to say that because this is what we're looking at, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's my rant.
So...
So here's what? The thing about that. Here's the thing about that real quick. And, you know, to answer with grandmother, matter of fact, I'm still doing that. I'm going to my head clan mother every time I have to make a decision and speak with her and take her advice. Now, Shazia's real quick, brother.
Yeah.
Between you and me, a Christian and a traditional, okay, you being Christian and me being traditional, we haven't had a problem with each other.
No.
So that proves you can talk with it.
Yeah.
We can communicate that way. It doesn't matter.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point of this round table is to bring us all together so we can sort it out and find the truth together.
Well, you said at the start of the show on some of the commercials and the funny things you had on there, there was someone that said, talk to people of all nations and coming together.
Yep.
In a lot of ways, as far as, say, American and American Indian, ain't you doing that already?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe you are as well. So do I believe that Barry and Barbara are.
There you go.
Yep.
Same deal.
Barry, you said in the chat room in there, the devil's going wild.
Yes. Good morning.
And I honestly believe that you you probably hit the nail on the head with that one. I don't know if you had the option to listen in to the majority of the show, but I played a podcast of 200 Bible prophecies in 30 minutes, and so my question was to everybody, you know, how do we explain this? You know, explain it if you can. You know, that kind of thing. We got a lot going on in this world. We're trying. We all want the same thing. Every single one of us listening in here today, we all want the same thing. We want peace and love. We want good things for this world. But we're in a battle right now. A literal battle. Spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, you name it. We are in it. And I'm just trying to make sense of it all. What do you think, Barry?
Well, in the 200 prophecies in 30 minutes, she says I didn't actually hear the list, but I'll guarantee you in that list of prophecies there will be a statement about the rise of the devil and the rise of spirituality around the world at this particular time.
Yeah, there was.
You know what? The most inspiring thing in my life in the last 10 days has been the March for Life. And to see I forget what the exact number is. Numbers range, I haven't seen the exact total, somewhere around 30 to 50,000 people showed up. And of those people that showed up, they estimate 15 to 20% were people under the age of 20 years. So what we're seeing in the United States right now is a real awakening as to the value of human life. Roe and Wade took that away from us. We have killed how many people of our own, our people, we've killed our children, 60 million, 70 million in the United States since Roe and Wade. I mean, that was the most inspiring thing that I've seen in my life, to hear those people talk like that,
so those,
and actually stand up for what is really valuable in life, and that is life itself,
so
and
those,
the sanctity of life. What inspired me, because it did.
Yeah, so those folks that all came together, and even in the young generations, that is a positive to throw in this deal right here. That they're so, we're not, we're we're not done yet, but we're moving forward. There's good things happening in this world. Even throughout all the hardship that we're witnessing, there's still people out there that are waking up and trying to do the right thing. Am I wrong?
Well, it plays back right into that prophecy that we talked about, too, is that at this particular time in our history, we are going to see a battle between good and evil, and we see it. We see this, what the devil's doing around the world and how he is absolutely destroying people. If you don't see it, you've got your eyes closed. The proliferation of pedophilia, LGBT communities absolutely destroying the moral foundations of our society. And that's exactly what's going on right now. Our society is under attack. And the objectives, the end game, I would say, would be, of course, the destruction of the family unit. We've said it many times on this show, Shaziz, you destroy the family, you destroy society.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing right now in North America, Canada, the United States, around the world. Period. It's the same agenda. It's been driven by one entity. That entity is very, very evil. Go ahead.
One thing that really struck out to me, I've changed my position on the right to life. And this is a conundrum because you know, everybody listening out there, how, again, like I said, well, women who came from Europe were virtual slaves. They couldn't vote, couldn't own property, they couldn't get an education. And so segue back into Europe in the early times about the ancient cultures, our people there, of all nations, again, were close to the earth. As it said in the beginning of the Kali Yuga, the people were together in unity and in consciousness in relation to creation. And there was no war, there was no pestilence, there were no fears, and so on and so forth. And then everything started to go downhill due to this intrusive entity, which you could call it a devil. That's okay, too. It is an intrusive entity that has taken over the sacredness to destroy what is sacred. So when you know the women here and the women all over the world were basically the connectedness to the Mother Earth, the fact that they were wise women, that they were herbalists, that they were, midwives, that they had the medicines and various other things were, okay, murdered and violated due to the Inquisition of the Church, the witch trials, and so on. And that people lost their connectedness to the original instructions which Creator gave everyone. So when the women came here to Europe, well, we have centuries of women being crushed, basically, crushed and duct taped, to shut up and just be quiet. You're a slave and I'm the boss. So we know that this thing is set. So now we come to this time where women are struggling and fighting for their right to their own body, their right to determine what to do in their own life. So now what has happened now? So that has swung over way out of balance. Again, it's out of balance because when you say, I have a right to determine whether I get pregnant, I'm going to abort that child. And now the laws are getting more gray where you can abort that child, maybe even at its birth, by that guy in Virginia there, that governor. So when you have this happening, I believe women have the right to determine, like men do, the right to determine what they want to do with their life. You want to eat, where you want to move to, how you want to take care of yourself, or not. Whatever you want to do, women have just as much right as men. It is not men's job or duty to tell women what to do with their bodies, but that's what's been going on. Now, you can understand the fury and the rage that women have. They're fed up, they're disgusted with it. But now that alone has gotten way out of balance, where women have forgotten their sacredness, and they have forgotten the sacredness of life, and that they are givers of life, and that was the Creator's plan, to give women this ability to create life, which is sacred. So now you have this abortion issue, the Roe versus Wade, that set this whole thing in motion, which was, again, destroying what is sacred. Go to the abortion doctor. Don't think about, well, I'm going to have a sexual relationship with somebody. Let me carry a condom or let me do whatever so that I don't get pregnant. No, now it's like, if I get pregnant, I'll just go for an abortion. It'll make it easy. I can do that. Fine. So now you have this manipulation again of what is sacred. The beings that are coming here, the sacred children, the innocent, are being destroyed, sacrificed to Baal, if you want to call it that, or the devil, or the entity that needs that terror, that death, that blood sacrifice. I have to keep saying this because it just makes sense to me. So now you have women, and I just read this a couple of weeks ago, there were 500 and so many women who were lawyers and judges. That's their positions they hold now. They said that if they were not able to get an abortion, okay, they would not have been able to become a judge or a lawyer. This is the kind of thinking that should blow your mind, so that if that gives them the right to abort a living being, okay, because they want to become a doctor, a lawyer, or a judge. This is the level of, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, evil at work. I don't know. Now, where are we going here? Because now we have this march for life, right? We had this March for Life. So something's going to be going on here. And President Trump was the first president ever to appear at this March for Life, which has been going on for I don't know how many years now.
Did you listen to his speech, Margaret?
I did not, but I will, actually.
Yeah, please do. I'm not a Trump supporter. I believe that there's a giant agenda being played on society. But the speech that he gave at the women's, at that March for Life, was probably one of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard in my life, that he actually stood up and really called out for what it is. And I'm asking myself questions about this, Barbara. I am.
What?
I'm asking myself a lot of questions about his appearance at this March for Life, whether he's using this just to rally up support for the next election, that everything that came out of his mouth was just programmed to hit the hearts of these people that were at this march. I asked myself that question. I've also asked myself the question of whether this man is speaking from the heart, that he's actually saying what he believes. I watched him talk, and I listened to his body language, and I watched his body language, and I'm just kind of sitting on the fence right now. For him to be the first president to actually come out and speak the way he did against Roe versus Wade, the whole speech was strictly on supporting life in the womb. Because that is a human being. Whether that woman has a decision to abort this, like you said, Barbara, a lot of the abortions now in the United States are just a form of birth control. Women figure they get pregnant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But you know, the effect that has on the woman's brain and the woman's body,
well, it's
down
not
the
only
road,
the
we don't talk
brain,
about that, do we?
It's the spirit.
The spirit, the soul of that
it's
person.
It's your soul.
To take that life and pull it out of you. That's dependent on you to bring it into the world. Tell me that
everybody
doesn't
everybody will have an argument. Everyone has their argument according to their politics of when life begins. Okay, but you're not God, I'm not God. Okay,
nope.
But I'm just saying, so I think he's had these policies prior to this time. If you look at his documentary on him in his life as a younger person. I believe that this is something that he stood off of, regardless of whether this is a political ploy, which everything is a political ploy these days. Okay, so you have an opposing whatever, a person, a Democrat or another political party, they're going to say something else to feed their people for nominations. It's the same thing. What I'm looking at is what this means for the future here. What does this mean? What's going to happen? Because I believe in the rights of women. I believe that it's nobody's business. But women have lost their connectedness to the sacred gift of life, and they have basically stepped into that other realm of doing harm to the sacred life. Not only the newborn or innocent, but themselves. So there's an imbalance here, and I believe that that is deliberate. That imbalance is deliberate. So what do we do? So I'd say, well, the women are supposed to be returning to the sacred ways of the feminine, so that as well as our men, the men are supposed to be returning. This was taken away from us, where we are pitted against each other, and where women are being controlled and shut down and shut up and told to be quiet and put duct tape on your mouth by the men, by the patriarchy. So something has to shift here, because we're in that time of prophecy where there is this return of the sacred feminine slash masculine. This is a raising of frequency. This is a shifting into a higher awareness, awakeness, consciousness, and enlightenment. This is where we are today. Well, something's messing with this big time, because it seems to be getting more and more out of balance, and women becoming more and more enraged, men becoming more and more enraged. The battle continues, and it will now with this new march on life, and Trump saying, you know, what he did, what I hear what you're saying. So something's going to be happening here. I don't know what it is, but this is not going to go away easy.
So I have a question. So when it in regards to the prophecies, all the prophecies from all the different nations, are they things that, in your opinion, anyone can jump in on this, are they things, in your opinion, that are quite literally written in stone, or are they warning signs for things that we actually have, you know, a heads up on, that we can do something about it? Because I sat down on Easter Sunday many years ago, and I read Revelations. It sent me into some different realm of unexplainable paranoia that you couldn't possibly imagine, because I was so fearful for, you know, my family and my friends and the world in general, that when I read these things, I was literally terrified. I didn't know what to do. And then, you know, with the going down the rabbit hole and searching up all the different things about the New World Order and all the different things about the, you know, in the conspiracy world, what they like to call conspiracy theorist world, you know, it's not conspiracy. We're seeing it happen real time, but now things that were said in the past are actually, you know, out there in the open now, so it's like that veil's been lifted. Are these all these prophecies from the past, are these things that will have to happen regardless of what we do? I because this is what scares me the most, is the feeling of helplessness, that there's no way that we can resolve this. I don't want to see anyone go through any of this stuff. You know, but I have seen everyone go through this stuff. You know, I've witnessed with my own eyes, my own mind, whether it be a vision of the future or a vision of things that could happen. I saw two different realities merged into one, and everything that was spiritual involved is everything that is physical, all simultaneously, in a future that I never want to see come to pass. So the question is, once again, are these prophecies written in stone, or are these prophecies things that are here to warn us that we need to find our way back to the divine creation or God or whatever, to get us back to where we're supposed to be? This is what I'm trying to figure out here.
I can say one thing about this, alright? One thing is, whether you black, white, yellow, red, or it doesn't matter to me, we were all tribal people at one time. Everybody was. That's tribal people, okay? Now, I'm going to speak of what this one elder actually said. He stated, when the white children grow their hair long and start wearing necklaces, then they'll understand. Well, that happened in the time of the 60s and the Love Generation and Woodstock and other things of that matter. It's not. Same deal. It's written, if it's written down and it's happening, whether it's set in stone or not, that is up to us. Okay? Can we not reach out to each other?
Well, I agree with you there.
You know my perspective on prophecy. I think that I feel that prophecy is a warning, and it is up to us, as you say, to dog, whether we want to shift our behavior so that prophecy does not unfold. But I still have to say, in addition to that, that if Creator wants that prophecy to be fulfilled, well, there you go. There's nothing that we do to change that. okay? So that's not, I can't tell which one God is going to say, exactly. I'm sorry, you can't change that. I can't, that's not me, I'm not God. All I know is that it's a wake-up call, and we have to do our best to not follow suit and continue our behavior so that the those prophecies do happen.
That makes sense. I mean, so at least if these things do have to come to pass, we don't have to be, you know, complicit in it, or if that's the right word, you know, that we keep following our true path and try to bring as many people as possible around that. I just, when listening to the words of Jesus and when reading the Bible and the Ten Commandments and all that kind of stuff there, I just can't visualize in my head God creating something so amazing, you know, and saying the words that were said that we wouldn't be given at least an option to do the right thing, you know, and make things
better. Let's look
at
it. Let's look. That's true, brother, but let's look at it in a nature way, in a natural way, all right? Let's look at it one natural way. I want you to look at all nature, which man is part of as well, okay? We're part of this nature, brother.
We're all like part of creation. All of us are.
Now, here's the point that I'm making, okay? If you look at all of nature in itself, all of nature is not fighting. Just us.
Yeah, just us.
Just mankind is fighting. All of nature is not. All of nature is in that balance. We are out of it.
So maybe the only difference between all of us is our terminology and our explanation of it, you know? After all, the book said that all the tribes were scattered throughout all the world, and their languages were scattered, and we couldn't even understand each other for so long until now in the modern day, where we have translations, where now we can actually match what you're saying to what I'm saying, and what, you know, biblical and other you know, scholars have said.
Let me go with that language thing. Okay, brother, I'm going to go with it just for a minute. With all the nations that were here on Turtle Island, okay? Just say I wanted to come speak to another nation, but I didn't know the language of it, right?
Yeah.
I throw a blanket down, put other things on that blanket, and sit down. They would know that I'm not there to harm nothing. But we had also not just oral languages with each other. We were able to use hand signal, hand sign. We can understand through that. And we could actually be speaking to each other that way.
Well, I'm going to take it further, and it's about the mother tongue. It's the original language of the people,
yes,
which was the mother tongue before the corruption of verbal language came into being, because the mother tongue is basically a telepathic connectedness, consciousness, and awareness of ourselves in relation. So that's why we were able to communicate with creation, with the elementals, with the animals, with the tree people, with the spirit of everything. Because it wasn't a verbal communication. You don't talk to an eagle spirit through it. Say, hey, eagle, what's going on? You talk from your heart spirit telepathically to that eagle. The animals, the creatures, are adverse to this sound of the words that come out of our mouth, these spells that come out of our mouth, because this is not the mother tongue, the universal language that we all spoke. Now that's been corrupted. But we can go back there. We can go back there by being out in nature and being still and going to our heart spirit and communicating in that way. Be open and listen. Open your ears and your eyes to see beyond the illusions. This is where we need to come to today, I believe, because the mother is where we find healing and our original essence as nature, beings of nature, sacred beings.
What do you think, Gary?
Hope I had to unmute myself there. Actually, I was just reading a link on the corona, on that virus this morning. It just came up to me. They're getting new cases popping up all over the country right now. There's four confirmed cases down in the States.
that's and, one of the prophecies.
In California, so kind of an interesting situation. I know you guys were talking about that earlier, but this has the potential to become a plague. There's no doubt about it. At the rate it's expanding in China, especially. China has a major caution information coming out right now about that, but information that is coming out is pretty alarming. When yesterday the reports were that they had 3 cities in complete lockdown right now.
Yeah, I heard that as well. That's
and 23 million people approximately under lockdown, and that number is expanding.
That was one of the...
So like you said, it's really hard to get information out of China.
Yeah.
And they're going to downplay anything that's going on over there. So if this is what we're hearing, it might even be worse than what we're hearing. So I say about this one, I think everybody should be paying attention.
Yeah, that's one of the 200 prophecies there, Barry, that was in that 30 minutes. That's one of the 200 prophecies about plagues and famines and all the different things. So... are we literally living in what they would call the last days? And the next question in line is, how long have the last days been actually occurring? Could it possibly be that the last days have been occurring for a long period of time, longer than we thought, that we were literally living in all this time right now? You know, I'm just trying to make sense of it all.
Well, to me, Revelation really lays down a timeline for events to come. And we do have control. I believe that if the human spirit somehow could have a change, that we got away from the evil that is perpetrating our society and destroying people's lives, if we could get away from that somehow, yeah, maybe the world would be spared.
I believe that too.
Coming to the planet.
I believe that too.
I honestly believe we're going to see a time of sorrows on this planet if it continues to go the way it is. Let me put it to you this way. If I was God and I was looking down at this creation that I created and I seen what they were doing right now, I would be a little bit choked.
Yeah.
And I'd be getting to the point where I'm going to say, hey, look, I've had enough of this bull crap. I'm coming down there and I'm going to straighten this out. You people that are on the wrong side of the fence, I'm going to deal with you accordingly. And you know what? I honestly believe right now he's laid down a timeline. We see all these events unfolding right now according to prophecy. And I'm not talking about just the Bible, I'm talking about Mayan prophecies, I'm talking about many, many, many different prophets from many different places around the planet that are talking about this accumulation of events that we see happening around us right now.
So to say we're in
the end times, I would have to say, yes, I honestly believe that we're there, that it's a real possibility now that we could see a one world ruler, because they, like I said many times, they control the money. And if you control the money, you control the masses.
Yep.
At any point, they can push a button and turn society completely, we've got to remember this, that they can turn society completely upside down in 24 to 48 hours. Everything in your life that you thought was important will mean nothing.
Yep.
And you'll be sitting there banging your head against the wall, wondering what you're going to do. All of a sudden, these changes have come in my society.
Yep.
And what are we going to do about it? Somebody's trying to call me. I have to hang up. Anyways, to me, it's the timeline. But we do have the ability to change it. But we have to change our hearts. And right now, I see the devil, and that's what I call him, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, the dark side, ramping up like crazy. But I also see what happened at the March for Life. There, which is the people, the interviews that were held. You can see the spirit of goodness coming out in people. Somebody's trying to call me here, guys. Sorry about that. But anyways, I'll shut up for a sec. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't disagree with nothing any one of you said today. You know, it's just, I'm like I said, I'm not here to try to convert anyone. I'm not here to try to convince anyone of anything. I'm just sitting here, I'm pointing out what everyone else is saying and what they're seeing and the things that we're all concerned about. I honestly still believe in the dream. You know, as crazy as that might sound to most, I still believe that we still have potential. I still believe we have the possibility that we can steer our destiny towards back to being where we should have been all along. And so, you know, with that said, I am concerned. I'm saddened and I'm disheartened about the way that society is going. I am happy to see that there are things that are actually you know, going towards the good. You're seeing good in the world. You're not seeing all bad. You're seeing a literal battle between what's right and what's wrong, good and evil, or dark and light. If you can't see that now, I don't know what to say. You know, the things that our children are watching on TV, the way that people talk to each other, the way that you know, men you know, are confused about their genders or their lives, or all the different drugs and the different things that are going on in governments and medicine and everything. We have gotten so far away from the natural us, the what we were created to be, that, you know, the selfishness, the I want to be the center of attention, I want what you got, or so on down the line, the greed, the, it's just, it's overwhelming.
The situation about how I know you do, brother, but here's what I'm saying. Okay, everything I try to do, it ain't about me. It ain't nothing about me.
I know that. I know you got a good heart.
But here's the situation, okay? This world has gotten to the point that it's man's technology in many ways is going to kill man, okay?
Yeah.
But it's hating your brother. In other words, me saying all my relatives, okay, and I believe that every one of us, black, white, yellow, red, are all related, okay? But I can't sit here and call you my relative if I'm going to fight you because what you believe in.
Yep, I agree.
That's wrong, dude.
That's how I agree.
Now, here's the thing, all right? A lot of people say, you know, things like, you know, thou shalt not kill. That's what their God said they ain't supposed to do. But they go to war in the name of God.
Yeah.
And they kill. But didn't your God tell you not to?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I take things literally. When it says don't kill, it didn't say if and or subsection A, article B under the fine print.
It didn't say that.
No, it didn't. It said just don't.
No, you're right. It didn't say that, bro. Don't do it.
Yep. And for us to know that when you do break those, there's a reason why your father would tell you not to do something. Don't stick your finger in the fire, boy, because you're going to get burnt. And when you didn't listen, you stuck your finger in the fire or you killed somebody, somebody's going to want to come around and kill you. See, that's the whole thing.
Yes, it's going to happen.
You don't even have to be a believer of a higher power to understand. You stick your finger in the fan, and you're going to get hurt. You stick your finger in fire, you're going to get burnt. You live by the sword. You'll die by the sword. So on down the line, it's so many different. There's good reasons why not to do a lot of those things all of those things that were in the Ten Commandments. You know? You don't even have to.
Well, see, that's the thing about it is, whether it's traditional or Christian or whatever, okay, it's naturally known, even as a child, that you're not supposed to kill your mother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're supposed to kill
her? So you don't do it.
You know, and love, I tell you, it's amazing. You put, like I said, so many times, and I've actually even heard many of you say it many a times. You put a bunch of different colored babies in a crib. They don't know anything but love and curiosity. They're not ready to fight each other. They're not hateful to each
other.
They
want to play with each other.
Yeah.
They don't want to fight.
So why can't we get back to that mentality? You know, we've got things that are coming down on us to try to convince us why we should hate one another, why we should disagree with one another. And when it comes down to Trump, you know, hey, folks, it don't matter whether you're left wing or whether you're right wing. Those two wings are still connected to the same doggone bird. You better keep your eyes on both sides. You know, when that eagle swoops down on you and those talons get a hold of you, it don't discriminate what color you are, what your red team or the blue team. You know, we got to realize that.
The thing with the politics is that we have to step away from the politics.
Yeah.
Because both sides are the same coin.
That's
both sides of the aisle are the same exact coin. They all are working for their own agenda. They don't care about the people. I mean, history certainly shows us that, you know. So it's like they need the wars to build up the economy so they can put more money into their pockets. They need the sacrifice of lives if they're following their religion of the Luciferian religion. They need the trauma, you know. They need all this stuff. So the politicians, the thing with the political system is that it was made so that we all sign up for one party or the other. Okay, you sign your life away to that party. You have no connection or idea to the other party because the other party is evil, the other party's the bad guy, so you're glued into your own party for life, that's it.
Yep.
And you believe everything they're telling you, you follow all their signs and signals, and you believe in them, and they're pointing fingers at the other party. So you don't even have an ability or an awareness. You're basically, in a way, silently told our party has the truth. That other party are the liars, so don't even go there. So that's basically what that keeps you in tunnel vision or locked into a specific perspective of the party you signed up with.
Yep.
Now, when you get involved in the political arena is a system put in place by the dominator patriarchy rulers. Okay, they don't have any interest in the common people, the persons, you know, or the earth. You know, they need the economy to soar. How do they get that to happen? Through coal, through drilling, through fracking, through all whatever it is to basically usurp the resources of the mother. So they are not interested in for the good of the whole. They're interested in for the good of me. My club, my party, that's it. So you might be a fairly decent person and you say, I want to run for a political position, I want to change things, I'm not happy with what this looks like. Well, that's all good, but once you get in, if they allow you in, then they're going to take you into the back room and they're going to say, okay, you've got this position now, you're going to listen to us. We're the boss here. We're the ones that you have to do our bidding, or otherwise you're out.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times there's blackmail involved. You know, you get certain people involved in something that now you have the goods on them. So now you own them. This is going on in the political arena and many other areas as well. So this is what we're dealing with. So, you know, you cannot shift things, make a change through the political parties, you know, who's president, who's a Dem, who's a Republican. That's not going to change. These people have their agenda, and it's their club. You're not in their club. So the only way you're going to make a change is develop and strengthen your own spiritual foundation, your connectedness to your community, to your own people, you know, to come into unity with your own people, to start to build the gardens, to say, hey, I do plumbing on the side. Do you need any help? Or, you know, I'm an electrician. Can I help you? Let's trade. What do you have that we can trade with? Let's get together as community and start our unity back the way it was originally and forget the politicians. Because the politicians have us screaming at each other, spitting on each other, beating each other up.
Yeah, that's it.
Can I say one thing about this, brother?
Yeah.
Back in 1973, the American government came to speak with Chief Bull's crew. And they sat in council with him over what was going on with the American Indian movement and what was going on with Dickie Wilson and what the government was allowing. From my understanding, the government stated that they were a nation of laws, not people. Is your law there when you die? Is it there when you're born? Is it there when you're sick? Your laws are not there. People are there.
That's it. That's it. They're the first ones that come in any tragedy. They're the first ones that come together to solve problems, and that's where we need to be, flat out. You know, I really honestly,
yeah,
every time I hear about when Barbara talks about the Klan mother system, I've actually heard you talk about it as well too, Dog. I wish we did have a system like that, because I think back
my
about
my
mom, my aunts, my grandmas, and all the things, all the times that they kept a peace in our home and always ensured that, you know, not only were we born to begin with, but we were fed. They were the peacemakers of our family.
Yes.
Well, women were the original peacekeepers. But I want to say that they talk about the law, but they're not following God's law, Creator's law of one. It's the Indian people who lived according to Creator's law of one. Okay, it's the corrupt system, those that headed up and created the system that we are under, that does not follow Creator's law. It's their law, but it's their white man's law. It's their system law that they go by. It's not about the people.
Now, here's the thing. When it came to us, a lot of times, when we would go with that law, and we would make them see that law is not working, they'll change it at the drop of a hat to suit themselves.
Yep.
Well, like the treaties. They made treaties and reluctantly.
They're the treaties.
Yeah. They reneged on pretty much all of the treaties. What does that tell you?
Well, I think it's the good people of the world that keep their word. My grandfather used to say that your word is like gold. If you keep your word when you make a promise to a man, or anyone for that matter, that if you, as long as you keep your word, you'll always have that to fall back on. And when you need help, you're going to find it. And my grandfather was a wise man.
The treaties were broken, Mother, but not by us.
That's it. That's it. We, the people, aren't the ones that were breaking it. It was the system that they wanted to keep the control. The greedy banking and you know, people that want to have seats of power.
Well, the government told the Indian people that they could have the Black Hills back forever. Until you know, as long as the green was forever, I'm not quite sure the forever green remained. Well, as soon as somebody discovered gold in the Black Hills, forget it. They changed the treaties.
Yeah.
They invaded the people's lands that they had given to them forever, and many other things they've done. Keep moving them. There's something under the earth there. Well, let's move the people over here now. We need this land. It's greed. This is greed, run by greed. Greed is evil. You know, greed basically eats up life, creation, and the sacred.
Well, folks, we're getting down there to that time. Time to go around the table again. I mean, once again, I just sitting there telling everybody, you know, I've been sitting back, I've been watching and listening to everything that everybody says from everything and just trying to make sense of it all. You know, I do call myself a Christian and I'm not ashamed to do so. I've got my own reasonings for why I believe in the words that a man named Jesus said. And so with that said, that's my spiritual journey. I can't take and change yours. I wouldn't try to change yours. I'm just going to lead my life the best I can, true to my heart, spirit, and I'm going to try to get as close to nature as I possible can. There's no way that I could ever match the footsteps of the man that they talked about being Jesus. I couldn't do that. I'm flawed. But regardless of all that, I'm not going to stand by and remain silent when I see the world in such terrible shape. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to try to throw positive pebbles in the pond. I'm going to try to reach out to other wonderful people of other faiths and other backgrounds, other like minds. I'm going to try to reach out to everybody because we're all here to seek the truth. That's what we said we were doing. We were here to find solutions. That's what we said we were doing. And I take your words literally. If you say you love me and I say I love you, those are literal words. I seriously mean it when I tell you that I love each and every one of you. And I love to be able to have the opportunity, the blessing, the honor to sit here and talk with each and every one of you. I want to hear your stories. And I know about all your trials and tribulations. I can feel it. I know when you're sad. I can feel it. I know when you're hurting. I can feel it. I feel like each and every one of you are a part of me, just like I'm a part of you. I can feel it. I can feel nature. I wish that everyone in this world could just to have that for one split second would all it need to take to get you to understand that there's so much more to you and there's so much more to the world and each and every one of you, the importance of each and every one of you. You're that missing piece of the puzzle. You're that gear that makes the machine work. So we brought up a lot of stuff here today. There was 200 prophecies within 30 minutes that the man talked about. I'm asking you, what do you think about it? What is your view on it? Is it coincidence, or did somebody back there try to warn us of something that's going on? Are they still trying to warn us to this very day? Are there still messengers among us? Are there more messengers coming? Are we living in what they would call the last days? Have we been living in them? So many doggone questions. One thing that you cannot ignore, one thing that you cannot deny, is the fact that there are people in this world who need us. They need all of us who believe in hope. They need all of us who still believe in the dream. They need all of us who want to get as close back to the Creator as we can possibly get, to get us back to nature the best we possibly can, to get us back to loving each other the way we should have been all along. You are your brother's keeper. You are servants to one another. Whether you want to be or not, that's the fact. You're the one that runs in there to that fire and pulls that person out. You're the one that picks that man up out of the ditch. You're the one that goes over there and feeds that lady whose husband's a bum. You're the one that takes care of them children. You're the one looking out for your neighbor. You're the one that is doing what you should have been doing all along. By God. You've got to see it, because the road that we are on is a bleak one. I don't want to ever see us get there. And I think that every little step that you take when they come for that march of life to protect those babies before they're born, that's a plus. You smile on somebody, you tell them you love them, you do something kind, you feed somebody who's hungry, you put some clothes on somebody who's cold. That's what we were meant to do. You know it deep down in your soul. You know it in your heart. And by God, you need to keep on doing it with everything you've got, no matter how bad things become. I love you all. So with that said, who wants to go first?
Bob, go ahead first.
Hey, well, I always feel your love and your passion for things, just is, and thank you so much. I have a different perspective, and I have a strong faith and great hope, and that we are in relationship to something far more greater and awesome, and things are unfolding. Of course, I don't think it's doom and gloom. I see troubles. I'm not ignorant. I'm very well aware. I do feel that this is a great test and a challenge and a great school. I know we have things available to us. It's not hopeless, and I know we're not helpless. And I don't ever at one minute feel like that. I see things, I read things that are troubling. I get it. I'm not, like I said, it's very important that we know. Let's not be ignorant to know. But let's fill ourselves with the wisdoms and information and things that are necessary for us to know and to build our strength through our spiritual connectedness. However you do that, it does not matter, because, you know, we need a foundation. You need something to hold on to during these rocky times and these challenges. And I think that we're all here because we signed up for this. I know that. So that means you're significant, whether you think so or not. You're here, present in this timeline. And I think that this is an extraordinary timeline. We're here during these times of shifts and changes and accelerations and technologies that are coming. We're in a work into right things that are wrong, balance things that are out of balance. And this, we have to start within our own self first. We have to find the source within ourself to balance what is out of sync within our own heart spirit, our own physical self too, mind, body, spirit. So I have great, great faith. You know, my faith comes from a long journey of this life and learning and falling off cliffs and jumping into fires, not on purpose, but, you know, that's life. Life is the sacred journey, I believe, and to find the sacredness of life and yourself is a key piece of this. Once you find that, you have inner peace. Once you have that connectedness, you have inner peace. It doesn't mean that you don't have compassion or that you don't stop reaching out to people, but it doesn't take you down and smother you and dump you down in the dark where you feel hopeless and helpless, because it's the inner peace that we need, and it's through our connectedness to Creator and the sacred life in ourselves as sacred that gives us that peace. I guess it's finding out who you really are. Who are you really? What are you here for? Why did you come here? These are three questions, you know, that you have to find the answers to upon your own journey here in life. Nobody can give you this joy. No one can give you this inner peace. That's your part of your journey, that seeking these truths, and they are there, and that's why you're here. That's all I'm going to say. So anyway, thank you so much for this show, and it's good to be with you, Two Dog, again, and for a few minutes there, Barry, and wishing you all a beautiful day and peaceful experience here, joy and good health in Pilamaya Doksha.
Lady, you always uplift my spirit, always. Every time I'm in your presence, you always uplift my spirit. Thank you for that. What about you, Barry? You want, or Two Dog, which one do y'all want to go first?
Charles.
Go ahead, Barry.
Well, you know what, I've said it many times, where I stand in my life right now, and what I believe, and I stand in my beliefs that we are going to see, unless there's a change in the human spirit, we are going to see some bad times coming up. I'm not a doom and gloom type person, but I have to be realistic about what I believe and what the Bible tells me about what's coming in the future for the human race. This particular time that we're in right now, I have to go with that. That's what I honestly believe is going to unfold. The only thing that keeps me sane is my connection with Jesus Christ. Because if I should get up and start my day with a prayer, and I do that every day, I honestly ask Him for strength, and I ask Him for wisdom, I ask Him for courage, because I know I'm going to need it, because I am going to be persecuted. The Bible talks to me about Christian persecution. We look around the world right now, and we see it ramping up like crazy. So it's all coming. Everything that I believe is going to happen, I believe will happen, unless there is a change in the human spirit. And if that doesn't happen, then I believe the book will play out just exactly how the book says it's going to play out. And that, to me, is not a good time for the human race. Millions of people are going to be hurt. Millions will be led astray, but I have to go with what I believe, and that's what I see coming. The writing's on the wall in my world. Go ahead, folks. Thanks for having me.
I agree with you, Barry. You know, I'm just out here kind of, I guess, lobbying and reaching out there and trying to plant those seeds and get other people out there energized and inspired to at least look into things. You know, we got so much to work on. How about you, Two Dog?
Well, brother, I got two things to say here. You have common unity, which can be in your community. In itself, it was once said, a warrior is not the one who holds a gun and looks stoic. Okay, a warrior is to help the elders, your children, your women. In other words, if an elder can't chop wood for him, put that wood up for him. He can't put a screened up door up for himself, you do it for him. That is a warrior. It's not to hold a gun and look stoic. Okay? And to go with Kara just a little bit, because I'm going to go there, I thank her for this music she puts on every Saturday. Oh, matter of fact, I listen to it every Saturday.
She's a good kid.
So I'm going to give a little, metal out, okay? Motorhead actually had a song out that stated, if you're killing in the name of God or anything of that matter, That's not what God wanted. And he was never on your side.
Yep.
If that's what it's about.
He said thou
shalt
not.
The fact of the matter, brother, is man's inhumanity to man is what is causing this problem.
Yep.
Hating somebody for what country they come from or what race they are, that's your brother you're fighting.
Yep.
And if we're all the children of the Creator, we don't need to do this to each other. It's time to stop it. Reach your hand out in your community and pick each other up. Stop this stuff. We have a world community, okay? Everybody on this earth, from Palestinians to whatever, have a right to exist because the Creator put us here. So let's exist together. One mind, one heart, one spirit. Whatever you believe in, how you believe in it, whether it's Christianity, Muslim, or whatever. It's time to exist together. Stop this insanity.
Yep.
So don't hate each other. You're hating your brother if you do.
Very well said, T-Dog. Everyone out there listening in, from whatever faith or whatever background or even lack thereof, reach down deep down inside your heart and say a prayer for everyone out there. Say it in your own faith, say it from your own heart, and whatever higher power is out there is going to hear. I'm going to say a prayer for all you out there, every single one of you. I'm going to say a prayer in the name of Jesus. I'm a Christian, that's what I do, and I'm going to say it. And I'm going to say it because I love each and every one of you. And I'm going to ask for blessings for every single one of you. I want you to reach down deep in your heart from wherever it is that you stand, whatever spiritual journey you're on, and do that one thing. Send that positive wave out there. Not just a pebble in the pond, a tsunami. From each and every one of your hearts, because this is where our true power lies. I believe that our God, our Creator, gave us the most amazing gift. Gave us a choice on how to use it. We haven't really necessarily been good caretakers of all these blessings. And now that each and every one of you is waking up, now's a good time to start. So if you're one of those ones out there that can sing like an angel, it's time to stand up and do so. Say a prayer for the world today, people. Say some words from your heart of peace. Because we really need it. Those folks out there that aren't as fortunate as you, do something to help them out. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you're inspired by anything here today, please share the podcast. That's all I ask. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You, as an individual, have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam's the Turbo! All rise for King Shazam's the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!